Hey, hey, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is Wednesday, July the 22nd. Hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for stopping by. I saved you a chair here. Pull up a chair, sit down, relax. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes talking about St. Mary Magdalene. Now, you know, this is, I'm excited about the show today. Well, let me tell you the way this works. You know, if you've been a listener for any length of time, you realize that I am very much guided by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I try to let the Spirit run this show, which means sometimes I get an idea, and then Spirit comes along with another idea, and I go in a different direction. Well, that's what happened today, and I had a great idea for today's program, but then I went to daily Mass. Today, July the 22nd, is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, and as I listened to the readings, I thought, you know what, I have got to talk about these readings because they are so good today. So today, we will look at the Gospel, we'll look at the first reading, we will look at the responsorial psalm chosen for the feast of St. Mary Magdalene because they are so good and there's so many messages contained in them. But the good news is, I already got my show for tomorrow. Unless I get some other inspiration. But anyway, it's just really, I love when the Spirit does this because I feel strongly about what we're supposed to talk about on the program today and tomorrow, honestly. And a lot of times what he does is he waits until the last minute to give me the material. But I'm pretty sure I know what I'm supposed to talk about for the next 2 days. Hey, if you are a new listener, welcome. I know I picked up some new listeners based on my Sunrise Morning Show appearance today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for stopping by. I hope you'll make this program a regular part of your daily spiritual experience. I plan to be around here for as long as I can, and I really appreciate the fact that you are a listener to this program. As I look at the numbers, I think when I first resurrected this show, now I had done it for many years, and I took about a 2.5 year break. When I resurrected the show, because I felt the Spirit was calling me to do it, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what kind of listenership I would get each day, and I thought, well, I'm a little on the fence. It's a lot of work. It's you know what, it's not a lot of work, it's a big commitment. That's what it is. It's a mental thing to say I will do a show every day. I depend really on the Spirit. There is work involved, but it's I would absolutely call this a labor of love, you know. And I'm just so grateful that you listen to the show and that the number of listeners are growing every day. You might be growing up too. Oh man, I think we all are. Anyway, if you have not signed up for my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled daily email devotional, I encourage you to please do that. It'll give you a little bit of hope every day. It's a quick read, and once you give me your email address, I do not spam you. I just use it to send out one email per day. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. Provide your email address, and you will be all set. There's no charge for the email. Anytime you want to unsubscribe, you can do it. But I really think it'll help you. Followingthetruth.com. Give it a shot. See what you think. All right, let's get on with the program because we got a lot of readings to do. And let's pray right now, which, you know, is my favorite part of the show. Sometimes I get blown away thinking that we can be in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but that's really the way it is. And you know, sometimes I think we get hung up on the words. I've got to get the right words. I have to say prayers for the right amount of time. You really don't. What God wants is your heart. And if your heart is in the right place, you're going to do just fine, even if you don't say anything in prayer. And I think, you know, you might want to try that sometime. Just spend time in his presence and just remind yourself, I am in the presence of God. Speak to the Father, speak to Jesus, speak to the Holy Spirit, you know, and it really will, it really is an incredible experience. And I'm the type of guy, if you're somebody who tends to analyze your words when you pray and think like, I've got to get the right formula or something's going to be missing or God's not going to hear me. Look, I have that tendency too. So I understand what it's like. And I would just encourage you, what I have learned after years of praying and reading and consulting the advice of people who know the Lord a whole lot better than I do, spending time in his presence is the best thing you can do. Don't worry about getting the words right. Worry about your heart being in the right place. And if you don't know what to say, tell him. You know, that's a prayer. Lord, I don't know what to say to you. And when you're in the presence of the Almighty God, creator of the universe, it's understandable you might be at a loss for words. It's understandable that you might not know what to say. But at that time, when you're in his presence, just remember, you're also in the presence of a loving Father who created you, who loves you, who fit you together piece by piece, exactly the way he wanted you to be. We'll be talking more about that on tomorrow's show, but just keep that in mind. So, without further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for letting us be in your presence. Father, thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating the entire universe. Thank you for providing for us every day throughout our lives. Father, thank you for being here for us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you guide us today. Let us know what you want us to do. Let us know how we can please you. You know, a lot of times we think of what we can get from you and focus on asking you for what we need. And that's valid. I know you want us to do that, but sometimes we have to ask you, what can we do for you? I mean, what could I possibly do to repay you for your goodness to me, Father? So please let us know, inspire us, give us a thought. Let us read something. Let us hear something to inform us what you would like to do, what you would like us to do for you, how we can serve you, how we can be your instruments, how we can be your hands and your feet in the world. Father, I know you'll continue to provide for us. I ask you to do so. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. And please help us. Give us the grace to remain free from sin for every minute, for the remainder of the day. That's our intention, to not offend you. Help us to make that possible. Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us today. Give me the words that you want me to speak on this program, and open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, so thank you for praying with me. I really appreciate that. My name is Gary Zimek. The name of this program is Following the Truth. We do this every Monday through Friday. I hope you, as I said at the beginning, I hope you can make this a regular part of your daily spiritual routine. You know, you and me hanging out, talking about the Lord, talking about the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the angels and saints, and how we can really invite the Lord into our lives. You know, because it's challenging. It's challenging to seek first the kingdom, as Jesus told us to do, when we don't see the kingdom, when all we see is a lot of chaos, a lot of distractions. So it's challenging, and I hope we can continue to walk the road together. Let's walk together as we journey toward our homeland in heaven. It doesn't seem like it should be sometimes, right? It's a little, you know, I mean, I would like to say I love the Lord. I really do. I really want to serve him. But sometimes I get a little confused about heaven. It sounds good, but I've never been there. And it seems a little different, you know, like I don't have to eat to be happy. I don't have to have material things to be happy. We just get a glimpse of it here. And much of it is based on faith. The gift of faith allows me to believe that heaven is going to be a great place. But there are times when it's challenging, when that ice cream cone's a lot better than saying a prayer. And again, you know, look, I don't want to go there and say that material things are bad. They're not. Excessive use of material things at the expense of spiritual things, that's not good. If I spend all my time stuffing my face and watching mindless TV and not any time praying or reading scripture, well, then that's wrong. But a healthy balance, that's fine. That the Lord gives us things to enjoy. You know, just bring him into. You know, I was doing that the other day. I was watching a baseball game, which is really amazing. It's bizarre and it's amazing at the same time. Now that baseball is back without any fans in the stands, I was watching a preseason game the other day, and I thought, wow, this is really weird. But it's kind of cool at the same time. You know, you get everything taken away, and your world gets turned upside down, and you start to appreciate what you used to have. But I was talking to the Lord. I said, Jesus, you know, this is really cool. Really cool watching this baseball game. Thank you for making this possible. This is the way we want to work on that relationship. That's the way we want our relationship with Jesus to be, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to work toward. This is going to be a lifelong journey, though. This is going to be something we will continually be working on for the rest of our lives. Let's do it together, all right? I hope you can just continue to hang out with me for 30 minutes each day as we walk down this road together and try to get closer to our Lord. But anyway, as I said at the beginning of the show, today is the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Now, the way it works is in the church, we have what is known as, there's different levels of celebrations. We have a memorial. Well, actually, you have an optional memorial you have, which is the lowest, which means it does not have to be celebrated. Then you have a memorial, which, you know, I don't know the criteria why the church chooses certain saints for certain levels. But the next level up is a memorial, right? And then there is what is known as a feast. And feasts are generally your super saints, your apostles, other assorted commemorations as well. This is a feast, the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. The highest level of a holy day in the church is what is known as a solemnity. And essentially a solemnity, I would guess it's equivalent to a Sunday. That's how big it is. You know, it's the highest level. But this is pretty big. A feast is nothing to sneeze about and to sneeze at. Is that the expression I'm looking for? I think so, right? Oh, man. I should stick to the theology, right? The scripture. And I get myself in trouble when I try to get too cute. All right. So, you know, like if you listen to my weekly program, The Gary Zimek Show, and if you don't, give it a shot. I think you'll like it. When I focus on the Sunday Mass readings, what I always do is I lead with the gospel, because the gospel really is the star of the show. The church teaches that the gospel, all of the Bible is the inspired word of God, but the gospels have a place of prominence. And on Sundays, when the first reading and the responsorial psalm are picked, they are picked specifically to match the gospel or to supplement the message in the gospel. The gospel is the star. The gospel is the engine. The rest of the readings, they are the other cars of the train that are behind the engine. But so when I read the readings on my weekly show, I begin with the gospel. I'm going to do that today. And again, these are specifically chosen for St. Mary Magdalene. The gospel's from John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And this takes place on the day Jesus rose from the dead. So this is a big occasion. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." Now, I want to make a point here about this. In this case, what's happening here is Mary, and you can get a better idea by looking at Mark's version of this incident. Mary's there to anoint a dead body. Mary did not go to look at the empty tomb to verify that Jesus rose from the dead. She went there to anoint a dead body. You can see this in Mark's version of this story. She came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. So Mary is in the dark in a couple of different ways. Number one, she's in the dark not knowing that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead, and she is literally in the darkness when she goes to visit the tomb. So she sees the stone removed from the tomb, and what's the first thing she does? She makes the assumption that somebody stole his body. Now, I want you to understand something. You and me make many wrong assumptions. Agreed? We look at a particular incident in our lives, something that looks really hopeless or bad or, you know, desperate or there's no way out, and we ignore the fact that Scripture tells us that with God all things are possible, that we have a Heavenly Father who created the entire universe out of nothing, that we have a Savior who rose from the dead, and that we are powered or empowered by the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. So when we look at things, problems, mountains in front of us, and conclude that there is no way out or that it's hopeless, just because we feel it doesn't make it a fact. Mary was feeling hopeless, but Jesus rose from the dead. And she was right there, but she drew the wrong conclusion. You and me, we do that all the time. So now what happened next? Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping. Now, there are a couple of pieces missing from this narrative, because what had happened was she went back and told Peter and the apostles about the body being missing, and they all went back to the tomb. So there's a couple gaps in this particular version that's used in the for the reading at Mass. But now they get back. They're back at the tomb. So what does Mary do? She stayed outside the tomb weeping. She still is missing the point. She still didn't realize that something good happened, and she's crying. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. So right away, look what's happening. Mary sees Jesus, and she doesn't recognize him, and she's crying. But you know what you and I have to understand is that Jesus met Mary where she was. Right now, she has an imperfect faith. She doesn't believe that Jesus could have risen from the dead, and he has said that he was going to do it. But did Jesus hold it against her? No. See what he did? He met her where she was. And this is good news, because he will do the same thing with you and me. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And she thought it was the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you carried away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." So she's still not seeing it. Then what happened? Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She recognized him because he called her name. And I made this point in my email devotional, "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled," today when I talked about this, and I'm going to say it to you now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of problem you're facing right now. I don't know how hopeless whatever's keeping you up at night appears to be. But I do know this. In the same way that Jesus called out to Mary and he was present with her in the midst of her tears, he's there for you and he's calling out your name right now. So I tell you, be encouraged. Take comfort in the fact that he is there. Then that's a game changer. The fact that he might not necessarily eliminate your problem, but he's there. And he's with you, and he's calling out your name. And that literally can be a life-changing piece of knowledge when you recognize that. Jesus then said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced that to the disciples. "I have seen the Lord." And then reported what he told her. What Mary did was she encountered Jesus, and then she became an evangelist. You know, Mary was someone who had a very close relationship with Jesus. And at this point, after she saw this good news that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead, she had to share that news. That's what you and I are called to do. And in a world very much filled with darkness right now, we got to let people know there's an answer. His name is Jesus. People need hope. That's the reason I do this show. But there's something you can do too. You know, if you don't have the words, direct people to my program. Direct people to my website. There's plenty of other resources out there, too. If you see something inspiring on Facebook, share it on Twitter, on Pinterest, on Instagram, whatever. Let somebody know. Give somebody hope. Share a book with them. Share a podcast, a TV program, whatever. Let somebody know the good news that Jesus is alive. And he doesn't want us to live a life filled with worry and fear and suffering. He wants to give us peace. Yes, there will be suffering. There will be difficulties. There will be trials in life, no doubt. But with him, we can be joyful. We can be at peace. It's an amazing deal. That's not the type of thing that we want to keep to ourselves. Let's look at the first reading now, because this is also cool. This is from the Song of Songs, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The bride says, "On my bed at night I sought him whom my heart loves." Now this is, you know, the reason this is chosen, we can see this can absolutely describe Mary Magdalene, who went to anoint the body of Jesus. That was an action of love. At night I sought him. I sought him. And she did seek him at night, by the way. Right? She went in the darkness. I sought him, but I did not find him. Right? That's exactly what happened. She didn't see him there. The tomb was empty. I will rise then and go about the city, in the streets and crossings. I will seek him whom my heart loves. Now, this is somebody like Mary. She's not going to give up. She is looking for that body of Jesus. She is looking for that connection. She misses him. He's dead. And she's looking for him. I sought him, but I did not find him, which is what happened. She didn't find him at first. The watchmen came upon me as they made their rounds of the city. Have you seen him who my heart loves? I had hardly left them when I found him whom my heart loves. If you seek the Lord, you're going to find him. And that's what we need to remember. Seek and you will find. Keep looking. Keep looking for it. You don't have to look that hard. If you seek God, right, you've already found him. That's a pretty profound statement that I read one day. If you seek him, you have already found him. The desire is enough. And then that you're going to grow in your knowledge of him, in your love of him. That's a lifelong process. But the very initial act of saying, I want to find God, I want to know Jesus, I want to get to know the Holy Spirit. And more often than not, we start with Jesus. That's why he came, to reveal the Father to us. So you start with Jesus, and then he is going to gradually lead you to the Father. If you listen to his words, he points us to the Father time and time again. And the Holy Spirit given to us helps us to know Jesus, makes him real to us, and also helps us to appreciate how much the Father loves us. So they all three of them work together. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 63. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. This is perfect. This describes Mary. She was looking for Jesus. O God, you are my God whom I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth parched, lifeless, and without water. Sounds like the earth today, doesn't it? Parched, lifeless, and without water. Without that living water of the Holy Spirit, so many of us are struggling. We need to know that the Lord is present. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is a greater good than life. My lips shall glorify you. Thus will I bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you. You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. I love that. And that's what the Lord's going to do for you. It's what he did for Mary Magdalene. If you seek him, you will find him. And then once you find him, make sure you go share the good news with somebody else. Jesus Christ, he's too good to keep to yourself. Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to know that Jesus is present with us always. Somebody needs hope today. You can be that instrument to bring his peace to somebody who's desperately in need. And you know what? That person might live in your house. They might live under your roof. There might be somebody who lives with you that needs to know that. Because for a lot of people, Jesus is not real. For me, for many years, even though I went to Mass every Sunday, he was not real in my life. Until somebody led me to a prayer meeting, which enabled me to finally realize that Jesus Christ, he is a real person. So be that instrument for somebody today. You could change their life. Hey, weren't they good readings? I mean, I just loved them. I had to include them. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about how God knows so much about you that he's all powerful and that you cannot go anywhere and not be in his presence. This is going to be a comforting message, and I really hope you are able to join me tomorrow on the program. Don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you would like to pre-order my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit, you can do that right on the website as well. It's going to be coming out in a few months, and I'm excited about the book. I'll tell you more about it as we get closer. But you can pre-order it now to make sure you get a copy as soon as it comes out, and to guarantee that you get a copy, because I have a feeling this book could sell out based on the incredible sales of Give Up Worry for Lent. So people are going to be anxious to get this one. And I'm excited. I'm excited to keep sharing the good news. And I don't remember if I announced this on the program. I know I put it out on social media. I've got several more books that I've already contracted to write. So if you enjoy my work, and just please keep praying for me, and there's going to be a lot more coming. I'm so blessed to be able to do what I do. If you'd like to support my ministry, I could really use a little extra help right now. You could go to followingthetruth.com. You click on donate, and you'll be directed to PayPal, where you can donate securely. It would really mean a lot. It would really help me to ensure that I can keep going in a very challenging economic situation. So just followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, take comfort in the fact that just like with Mary Magdalene, the Lord is in your midst. He's right there. Just make sure you say hi to him, okay? Because he's there. He wants to help you. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth, and I hope to catch you next time. God bless you.